1340 96.5 KVGC. And with us again today in the studio is Sutter Amateur Hospital CEO Tom Dixon. Tom, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on the show.
You're welcome. Dr. Bob Hartman. Dr. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Wonderful to be back on KVGC. Thank you so much.
Let's talk a little bit about our community, COVID-19. Dr. Bob, let's start. I'll ask you the first question here. You know, we just had a letter from the city of Jackson issued yesterday, asking everyone that comes to the city of Jackson, those of us that are in the city of Jackson, both community members and business leaders, to, you know, follow the rules, basically. Follow the rules. Keep us safe. We don't want to get on the governor's watch list and so forth. So, you know, with community safety measures in mind, they're very important now as COVID cases are rising in the area and throughout the state, and we all need to do our part.
Jim, as we know, COVID cases are rising. They're rising rapidly. It's very worrisome. You know, Calaveras County reported another 8 at their last report. Our count yesterday went up to a total of 48 positives in Amador County. And there clearly is community transmission. And there clearly are things that we can do, you know, and I like to look at it as five basic areas that give us a chance to get a leg up on this thing. One of them, and I think the most important, is masks. And so I really compliment the city of Jackson for producing that letter last evening. You know, all of us in public health and healthcare and throughout the county, we really need to encourage and insist on the use of masks. Secondly, in my humble opinion, the bars never should have been opened. Bars should stay closed, or if you fit into the categories of being able to operate outdoors, you can do that. Third, avoid gatherings. We have seen positives in Amador County, people who have been in gatherings and gatherings that should not have been held, family gatherings, wedding receptions, other types of congregate gatherings.
Right.
Physical distancing, another very important one. Physical distancing, we should stay 6 feet apart. We should stay outdoors. We should be wearing masks when we're less than 6 feet apart. And then lastly, we really need to protect our vulnerable populations. Mm-hmm. That means those of us who are older need to be even more cautious, and those who are younger need to be cautious around those who are older, or avoid being with them, and support them. You know, the social infrastructure for elderly typically is not as robust as it is for younger people. So, you know, those things we need to do. And, of course, the old hand washing, you know, 20 seconds, sing happy birthday. But I think masks are one of the essential things to try to knock this down.
Now, if we can get around the HEPA rules, if I can ask you this question, none of the cases that have tested positive so far were from the congregate site, the health.
Jim, we continue to investigate congregate living facilities. Yeah. We did announce last week that there was one person employed at a congregate facility that tested positive. We continue to look at that very closely. So, you know, and of the recent cases, we're still looking into the contact tracing of those. So that's a major concern, and we need to look at that really very carefully.
So, Dr. Bob, are there that many people in the state that aren't doing the right thing? Or are they just, we don't really know how the virus...
Jim,
spike, I mean, every day, you know, off the charts every
day. Jim, there's still a lot of people not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I read, and this was granted, I picked it up on the internet, and everything there I think is somewhat suspect, but this looked to be a little bit more believable. And it said that if 90 to 95% of people followed the guidelines that I just outlined, that we could begin to knock this down within 4 to 6 weeks and be back down at a baseline level. And this same article that I read said that in California, approximately 55% of people are following all of those guidelines. Mm-hmm. So we've got a long way to go.
You know, I didn't realize it until the other day. Actually, it was Tuesday. We were talking amongst our family here. We don't go anywhere anymore. Well, I go to work. I go home. I might go to the store. Teresa might stop at the store on the way home. We don't go places like we used to go anymore. And we really don't see our family like we used to anymore. We see them, but it's either, you know, through the door or back a ways talking to them. And it's just, you know, you don't realize how this has really affected you until you stop and think about
this. And
Jim,
you and your family are doing the right thing. You know, protect yourselves, stay within your own household contacts, go out for essential things, go out to do your shopping, go out to do your medical visits, go out to do the things that you have to do. You know, you are definitely an essential worker. Of all the workers in Amador County, KVGC continuing to do what you're doing makes you an essential worker.
Well, I've a friend of mine where his son, who's an adult, has children of his own. They've been having parties at their house, swimming parties, barbecues, people coming out of the area coming. And he told me, hey, look, they're not getting it. So how do we really know it's contagious? And I said, well, you know, it's like this. If you play a game of Russian roulette, chances are you won't pull that, you know, land on the bullet every time. But there's a pretty good chance you do it enough, you're going to get it.
A significant number of the cases in Amador County have come from outside of the county. Someone traveled somewhere, contracted COVID, came back to the county, and then helped to accelerate the community transmission.
Tom, let's talk about Sutter Amador Hospital.
All right.
Preparing for COVID-19 patients. The hospital has capacity. Are you prepared for a patient surge?
Yeah, we're prepared. We have capacity, and we've certainly seen an increase in activity, an increase in people who believe they may have COVID-19 coming to the emergency department and wanting to get tested. And so we are we're definitely noticing a change in the last couple of weeks with activity picking up. So we're ready. We're ready with our surge plan. We're ready to do whatever we need. But I will just say that, you know, the learning from other hospitals that have tried to function during, you know, an outbreak of COVID-19, the real risk for any hospital is if our employees get sick, right? I mean, if we have equipment and beds and everything we need except staff, we're out of commission. And so that's what we really do concentrate on. That's why we try to restrict entrances, and we, you know, enforce mask use. We want to protect our patients, our physicians, and our employees, so that we can all be there to help people.
One of my employees has a family member that works at Sutter in Sacramento, and was it yesterday or the day before they had six ICU COVID people come in, put in ICU.
Yep.
You know, in just one day, six in one day.
It can happen that fast.
Yeah, it really, really can. Luckily. Do we have anyone in ICU here?
Any
for COVID, or just hospitalized?
Right now, no one with COVID in the ICU. Yeah. We have people that we're ruling out whether or not they have COVID, or but not in ICU at this time.
I shared with you and Dr. Kerr the other day, Dr. Bob. We had to go to the emergency room over the 4th of July holiday a couple of times, and you know, we pulled up, and there was, oh wow, there's a guard here. And, you know, my wife started to get out with one of my sons, and he said, no, sorry, only, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he walked in by himself. And then a little later on, an elderly person came up, and they let them drive through, dropped it off. The car came back out. But it was real, I mean, Tom, I tell you what, it was smooth, man.
Yeah.
Everything was handled.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah. And, you know, the experience in the emergency room went real smooth as well. Are you still seeing a lot of people in the ER?
Activity has definitely picked up.
Yeah.
We're seeing some of the we're seeing some record levels of people come to our emergency department now.
We're talking to Tom Dixon, who's the CEO of Sutter Ameter Hospital, and Dr. Bob Hartman today. So what about this new EICU, electronic ICU? What's that all about?
Well, you know, actually EICU is something that every Sutter Hospital, Sutter Health Hospital, can take advantage of. Let me see if I can help explain. So if you are a patient in a critical care unit, you're typically going to be monitored by nurses and by the physicians that are staffing the critical care unit. And that's what you would find in normal situations. But Sutter Health adds an additional layer of monitoring for all of their facilities. So we have a central location where critical care trained nurses and physicians and providers are observing the patient using high-definition cameras. They have access to the medical record, to the electronic medical record, so they can see exactly what's going on. They've got the ability to communicate with the nurses and the doctors, and so they are providing an additional level of monitoring for our patients. They can write orders. They can consult. The Sutter Health System was one of the first hospital systems in the West to use this technology. We've used it for many years now, and it is critical for us to maintain the safety of our patients.
So would that go along with the video visits and virtual visits?
Same concept.
Really, Bob? As Tom pointed out, the EICU has been around, but it's really kind of been spiffed up lately. There are cameras in the ICU rooms, and so the EICU specialists in Sacramento can actually see the patient in real time, see all the monitors and so forth. But on the outpatient side, video visits continue. Video visits early on during coronavirus increased significantly. And then as it looked like we were stabilized, which was right about the time the state opened up more, where it looked like we were stabilized, the video visits dropped to a little bit less than 20% of total visits. Mm-hmm. However, now with the increase in cases statewide, increase in cases locally, video visits are increasing again. The clinicians are getting pretty darn good at doing it. Our medical assistants prep the patients on how to do it and then go ahead and do the video visits. Obviously, there's some limitations. There's some things you can't do over video.
Yeah.
So our clinics are still open. Everyone wears a mask. There are innumerable safety procedures. And if someone needs to come into the clinic, they should feel safe doing that. But there is a lot that can be done over a video visit. And particularly for our vulnerable populations, it's important to make that judgment as to whether it can be done via video or not.
So, for example, my father, who's 95, a visit to Dr. Roland just for, well check, would that be a video visit?
Certainly be eligible for a video visit, yes. Right. And that's the kind of thing that our staff is trying to look at ahead of time. Who's on the schedule, for whom would it be appropriate to do a video visit?
So what would not be appropriate if you have I've got this rash or my arm hurts me when I do this, what can I do? I mean, what would be a...
Interestingly, some rashes can be taken care of over video visits,
you know me too well,
your neck.
Come on now, remember those HIPAA rules, Dr. Bob.
There are cases where people would, for instance, need their heart or their lungs to listen there are some cardiac special stethoscopes that you could do televisits with and so forth. But that's more difficult to do. Abdominal pain is a difficult one. Orthopedic exams, sometimes you can sort of walk the patient through what hurts, what doesn't hurt, and what movements. But you just have to lay your hands on them at times. But for instance, a routine blood pressure check where somebody's got a blood pressure cuff at home and they're seeing their doc once every 6 months and that's the main thing they're seeing them for, that is very easily fit into a video visit.
Right. How about that new device? Have you seen on TV where you put your fingers on the pad and it gives you your blood pressure and heart rate on your iPhone?
The blood pressure typically is done with a blood pressure cuff, and the wrist cuffs nowadays are really very good. Their upper arm cuffs also. But for several years now, we've been able to get rhythm strips, cardiac rhythm strips, by touching certain portions of your iPhone, mm-hmm. your smartphone,
yeah.
and that's really very helpful. The oximeters that can measure your percent oxygen saturation in your blood are very easy to use. You can teach somebody how to do it in 30 seconds, they're much more readily available. You can get them online for $30 or $40, and while that might be prohibitive for some people, frequently our emergency rooms are making those available to people just as part of their discharge planning. Yeah. You get an oximeter to take home.
Dr. Bob Hartman and Tom Dixon, our guests today on KVGC. So, Tom, is medical care getting back to business as usual?
I would say... since we restored our ability to do elective surgeries, I think we saw it more and more resembled what care is like in a normal hospital. But I would say just again, in the last couple of weeks, with an influx of patients coming in concerned about COVID-19, that is really our focus. That is kind of dominating. It's our top concern, and it's really kind of dominating what we pay attention to.
What about children's immunizations? Should we still, still continue to get those?
I believe Dr. Hartman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the pediatric center is
Let me rephrase that. I don't mean because it's, going to give them COVID or make them go blind or anything.
Routine health maintenance need to continue to be done. We did kind of defer some of that for a little bit, but now we're ramping back up to do the routine things. And then for the pediatric age group, that certainly includes immunizations.
So you said the emergency room is working the full time, and I can attest to that. What about like the lab and the imaging department? Are they still in
They are very busy. Yeah, absolutely, because when patient activity increases like it is now, all of the support departments, all the diagnostic services, all of the even the therapeutic services have a tendency to go up at the same time. So we are a very busy place right now.
Was there ever a time where you sent people home? Okay, imaging department, you can go home. Lab, you can go home for a couple of days.
That would really be routine in a normal hospital. I mean, if activity drops off precipitously, then you try to do that. Honestly, though, knowing what was potentially coming down the road for us, didn't do that very much. Mm-hmm. We kept people and we kept them going and helped us get really prepared for whatever would come.
Gotcha. Tom, Bob, I know you guys are busy guys. One more question, if I could. COVID-19 testing. Where can residents go here in Amador County to get tested for the coronavirus?
Jim, currently there are four sites that you could get tested for coronavirus. The emergency department at the hospital does a significant amount of testing, either if you qualify for it based on kind of priorities. They do rapid testing, you get the results back in less than 2 hours. They go to the Sutter Shared Lab, you get the results back 24 hours, maybe 48, but generally 24 or slightly less. Sutter also has over in Suite 5 at Court Street, has a center that has a very narrow spectrum of what they see: preoperative patients, folks that need to go back to work, asymptomatic.
Sure.
Then WellSpace has a coronavirus clinic, a separate entrance, and based on symptomatology, they will do testing there. Mm-hmm. Last I heard from them, they were doing about 20 tests a day, so they are contributing to the testing volume. And then there's state-sponsored and public health department-backed Verily site up behind St. Catherine Drexel, and a shout-out to them. They have been wonderful in letting us use their entire back parking lot. And the testing there is for a variety of people, minimally, mildly symptomatic, people who are worried because they might have been around somebody, and asymptomatic patients come in there. They're concerned about the community transmission. Those slots fill up quickly, doing anywhere from 100 to 150 plus per day.
Wow.
There. Unfortunately, because of the huge testing volume in California, it takes a while to get the results back. Mm-hmm. Some as soon as 5 days, but some is taking out to 7 days or even longer.
And you can do it at Kirkwood too, right?
There is a testing site in Kirkwood. It's open one day, and I'm not sure if it's every week or every other week. I actually was up there checking out that site last week, and they had 160 patients scheduled that day in Kirkwood, believe it or not.
What? Yes. Where are they coming from?
Well, some of them from Nevada, some from Alpine County, some from Amador County. But also people say, oh, wait, people get on the testing websites and they can look around and see who has an appointment available. So people say, I'm packing a picnic lunch and going hiking at Cables Lake, Silver Lake. Sure. And then they'll drive over to Kirkwood and get tested.
So should you talk about which facilities require reservations, Bob?
Yes. Verily requires an appointment that you do online, projectbaseline.com. Mm-hmm. WellSpace, walk-in. Open Monday through Friday, and I believe the hours are 8 to 6. Okay. Walk-in, no appointment necessary. The Sutter Suite 5 does require appointments, and it requires an order by a Sutter clinician. The emergency department, of course, is the emergency department, and as Tom said, very busy, and they make the decision. The clinicians in the emergency department make the decision about whether to do the testing and whether it's rapid testing or not.
All right. Dr. Bob, thank you. It was always a pleasure. Tom Dixon, thank you. It was always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim.
And to wrap this all up, everybody do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Please.
Be cognizant of taking care of yourselves and others. We really need to be a community in this.
Gotcha. Thanks for being with us, guys.